very pleasant Wednesday. I've mentioned the last couple of days on the air, I'm not feeling at the top of my game, so I just decided not to come in and bother anybody else with any hacking or anything like that. So hopefully we'll be able to get through here today. Shouldn't have that much trouble. Again, Dan is out of town through tomorrow. He'll be back in town on Friday. But we've got the that excellent our excellent replacement in Coach Don Dunn is back in the studio. Don, how you doing today?
Doing good, Bill. Like you said, beautiful day. Sorry you're still feeling a little bit under the weather, but we got some good guys here to take control.
Well, that's what we're looking forward to, and I wasn't sure if he was in the studio. Is JC there?
I'm here. Yeah. Yep, I'm here, Bill. We're good to go.
Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover in the studio. What a busy time it has been, Jason. I mean, it's hard to believe that it feels like a lot more than 2 weeks ago the football signing period got underway for high schoolers, because there's been so much action since the transfer portal opened just 9 days ago.
Yeah, it honestly hasn't even stopped. It hasn't even slowed down at this point. And the crazy thing about portal is that it can happen in a matter of hours. And you look up and you go, well, here's a guy they're interested in. All of a sudden you look up and he's on campus, and you might have a decision even made. Yeah, it's an extremely quick process sometimes. But it's, you know, it is the world we live in right now. as much as a lot of people don't like it, it's what you have to do. And, you know, if you're Auburn right now, you got spots that you need to fill. You need some veteran guys in certain positions to come in. You know, obviously you had to have quarterback stuff, and so that's been taken care of. You needed offensive tackles, and that has been taken care of. I still think they would like to sign a hybrid guy that could play guard or tackle. I think that would be ideal.
Right.
But obviously, you look right now, and I think with what you would project the offensive line room to look like going into next year as we stand today, I'd say it's about as good a shape as an Auburn offensive line has been in since at least 2017, and it may go back further than that in terms of the numbers of guys you have. So I think they've done a good job there. you know, interior defensive line, you get Dallas Walker today, so you start to get a veteran presence to help out a lot of those young guys. Probably still need at least one more guy on that interior, you know, probably a couple of linebackers. But you start to look at it, and you've done a pretty darn good job of starting to fill some of those spots.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. Dallas Walker, as you mentioned, was the latest. Auburn had not added somebody on the interior of the defensive line. You know, that coupled with Amaris Williams not entering the portal, I think that is a huge get, too. It doesn't count as an addition, but, boy, it prevented a big subtraction.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, those are – you know, those are just as big a wins. Getting Dylan Wade back is a win, you know, even though it wouldn't have been the portal situation. I would say right now I would lean towards Jeremiah Wright returning as well. And so if you start to look at some of those pieces, you start to look pretty good. But, yeah, keeping Amaris Williams, I mean, this guy's an NFL-type talent. Now, we'll see if he can ever get to that point. But from an athletic standpoint, size, strength, speed, all those things, that's the kind of guy you'll be looking for to sign, and you had that guy on your roster, and to keep him is definitely a big deal.
Yeah, so Auburn, I believe, up to 9 additions from the transfer portal. You mentioned the offensive line. Yeah, I mean, so much of this has happened because, really, last week players were just visiting for the first day. That's what's crazy. It's been in a week span. Auburn has had, close to 20 players visit, well into the upper teens visit, and they've added 9. But you talked about there on the offensive line, Xavier Chaplin, Mason Murphy are 2 proven commodities at tackle that they've added to this roster.
Yeah, no, you start looking at, and obviously quarterbacks is going to be important, but you look at it, and, you know, we've seen it, whether it be Auburn in the past with Bo Nix, or whether we've seen it with Jackson Arnold this past year at Oklahoma. You have to have all the pieces in place, or most of the pieces in place, for things to work. And so for Auburn, that has been a sore spot. I thought I mean, you know, Percy Lewis didn't was a struggle for him, but I thought other than that, the offensive line played pretty solid. I mean, Too Tall was banged up a lot of the year. Interior played pretty good. They've continued to get better under Jake Thornton in 2 years. I think now you look at it and you start to see pieces that give you a chance to all of a sudden step up and become, you know, an offensive line group that can go out and contend. And having those tackles, you know, helps you to bridge the gap to a Tyler Johnson and to some of the young guys that you've recruited as well.
Yeah, so it's been really interesting. We'll talk more about the portal here in just a little while, but let's get to, I mean, the big news of the day, and this is not, you know, not a slight toward Dallas Walker, but, I mean, a huge sigh of relief at the report just a little while ago about Jahni Broome not requiring surgery and just going to have to rehab the shoulder after going down just a couple of minutes into the ball game last night in that big win over Georgia State.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned last night post game that I talked to a few folks and they felt like that it wasn't as serious as it had been, you know, last season. I think it was last year where he, you know, didn't miss really any time, but he had to rehab and do some stuff, and they felt like it was a pretty similar situation, and that's what it turned out to be. And so I think for him, you know, you rehab, you know, the question will be, hey, do you want to play Saturday? If not, you have Monmouth as the only other game, and I think they won one game. And so you start talking about, hey, if you want to go, we'll take Purdue out of the equation, not push it yet. You'd have 2 weeks, essentially, before you start SEC play to rehab and to get some strength back. And that'll be the thing. It'll be sore. It's not muscle fatigue when you do one of these, but it is lack of strength because it'll impact that muscle, you know, surrounding that shoulder. And so that'll be the thing. I think the fortunate thing for Auburn is that was his right arm. And so it wasn't the left arm, and obviously left-handed guy, that's going to be the big majority of things he does. But yeah, big news. We'll see what that means. But yeah, it's not long-term, not season-ending, any of those things. And that's obviously huge.
Yeah, no question about it. Folks may remember last year, you remember – Jahni wore a brace for a while. You know, last night we were reminded that he had had that type injury before. It's a shoulder strain, and remember he wore that brace last year, and it didn't really seem to affect him much at all.
No, it didn't. And I think you look now and you go rehab, get some strength back. I would expect that the next time we see him on the court, he would probably be wearing that anyway, just to kind of continue to give a little support, and maybe you do that for the next few weeks until you get that strength and mobility back in there. But, yeah, this is the one you don't want to push back because, I mean, we you know, you think about it, and just a few years ago Auburn had a guard that was playing pretty well that had a couple of these shoulder injuries in a row, and it forced him to give it up. And so I think that's what you look at is going, hey, don't want to rush back in because the more it happens – the more it's going to happen. And so that's why you need to rehab it to get the strength back so that muscle surrounding the joint can hold it, withstand it. And so, yeah, but just, you know, when you start talking about this team, you know, you think about that moment 2 minutes in and Auburn wound up playing incredible basketball
especially in the second half.
Yeah. Doing what they did, but it's still such a different team because then you take your best rebounder and your best player out of the equation, especially from a rebounding standpoint. That's where this is a massive deal because this team can score enough, probably different type of scoring. They can probably score enough, but the things you miss from a passing standpoint and especially from a rebounding standpoint are where it becomes invaluable that you have Jahni Broome ready to go.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, Jahni, I know just recently, I'm not sure if he still is, but last night will hurt him as far as the averages. He was leading the nation in rebounding, and last night Auburn ends up even with Georgia State in rebounds, but he's also Auburn's leading assist man on the season. So you take those things out. Last night Auburn didn't need it. It was great to see Chaney Johnson step up to the opportunity, 26 points in 30 minutes, going 12 of 14 from the floor. So, I mean, Chaney with his biggest night as an Auburn Tiger, 26 and 8. And yes, they didn't need Janine last night, and Auburn probably does have the offensive firepower. I mean, last night wasn't one of the nights when Auburn shot lights out. I mean, for the game, they shot 36% from outside the arc, but 5 of 7 by Denver Jones. It wasn't, you know, nobody else had a great night shooting it. And yet, even with all that, and with the team really, you know, you could tell they were concerned and didn't look full speed without Janai there in the first half. They just really cranked it up and ran away in the second half. And I thought it was crazy. I mean, I saw the line, somebody said was 38.5 before last night's ball game.
Yeah.
And I said to my wife, it's like, well, there's no way they're going to cover this with Janai out. And yet they did. So that gives you an idea of the potential of this team. But yes, they need to do everything they can to get Janai as healthy as possible, because you want him for the long run, and for him, for his health long term. That's more important than the next couple of ball games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the grind that we know that's coming in the Southeastern Conference with, I don't know, the last time I saw Joe Lunardi predicted 13 SEC teams in the NCAA tournament out of 16. I looked last night and somebody said that the SEC is 50-4 this month in non-conference and 30-4 against the ACC this year. In my lifetime, I would have dreamed that SEC would even be even with the ACC in basketball in terms of to be 30-4 against the ACC. I mean, growing up for me, you know, the Ralph Sampson, you know, Jordan, James Worthy, ACC, when you go, man, how far down the list? NC State, and you go, that team finished 6th or 7th in the league and wins
Tom
a national championship.
David Thompson, well, I mean, when you're talking NC State.
I mean they won a national championship in 83 with a team that had to win the ACC tournament to get into the NCAA tournament. To think how far this league has come in basketball is just unbelievable, and it's going to be a grind. And, you need him ready for that grind. And quite honestly, if Broom doesn't play and you don't beat Purdue, I don't think it impacts you one iota, because people are going, well, look, you don't have one of the best players in the country playing. I think, you know, for the long haul, yeah, we'll see. Hey, maybe you wake up 2 days from now and go say, I feel fine. I'd still be surprised, but I don't think it's going to be something that's going to be long-term.
Yeah, he'll probably be doing everything he can to get back in there before Bruce is going to let it, because that's one thing. This staff is concerned about these players' futures, not just here at Auburn. So, I mean, and as you said, whoever is looking at this, I still think Auburn can beat Purdue without Janai. But, I mean, even if they don't, it's surely not going to be a knock against them. It's not going to be a minus, because you didn't have perhaps the best player in the country when you go up to Birmingham on Saturday.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Purdue was out there big man right now, too. They're 7'4 guys, not playing, very guard heavy, and they're really good. And so, you'd feel much better if you had him, but this is one where it's not like you're playing a team that has some twin towers on the other side right now.
No, you're right. All right, we're just underway here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Doing it from all over. Bill from home, just to protect everybody else. Coach Don Dunn is in the studio along with Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover. Drew at the controls. We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. As usual, we'd love for you to join in. You can give us a call on the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390, or text us on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And that number is 334-564-1840. Come on in and join us. We're just underway here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with BN 1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill from the home studio, if you will, got Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, part of the 24/7 network, is there in the studio. And Coach Don Dunn is in as well. And we'd love for you to join in. We were started talking some about the transfer portal there at the beginning. And again, Don, I know that this is still it, it's actually seems, you know, a little crazy to me, just hearing all these names and additions. But I'd love your thoughts. I mean, Auburn adding that big defensive interior lineman, Dallas Walker, who started his career at Texas A&M.
Right.
Then he was at Western Kentucky.
Yep.
I wondered if you might have had a chance to see him when you went up there.
No, I did not. But I've heard good things from some of my buddies that are still on the staff up there. They hated to lose him like all those type schools do. But like we were talking yesterday, Bill, I think – Auburn has done a really good job this time in the portal. It seems like they have targeted who they want or what position they want or need, and they've done a good job so far of fulfilling those positions. And like Jason was saying a minute ago, it never ends. You never know, and there's a lot still to be done. But I'm really excited about what they've done so far.
Yeah, Jason, I'd love your assessment of where Auburn is right now. I mean, we talked about some of their needs going into the portal, and then last Wednesday when players were just starting to visit. You know, how well has Auburn been checking the boxes, and how do you feel about the additions thus far?
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue with what they've done to this point. And this is something I'm actually going to write something about it. I haven't written it yet, but I believe in my mind anyway, this feels like the first time since Borges was Auburn's offensive coordinator that Auburn has recruited the quarterback position as a group for the offense that's running. For so long we saw, well, this guy's a perfect fit for this system. Well, then you go recruit somebody else who was a really good quarterback, but it wasn't a fit for what you were doing on offense. And I thought we saw it this year at Alabama. I was sitting there and I said, and nothing you could do about it because you're there. You're already there. Mm-hmm. But I think like Jalen Milroe, if you put Jalen Milroe in a Gus Malzahn offense, I think he wins the Heisman Trophy like running away. I don't think it's even close. Some of that is coaching. You adapt to what you have. But some of that is, you know, okay, get the guys in. And I think as you start to build a room, I think you start looking and going, look, what do we want to do on offense? And I think Hugh Freeze says, look, we know we want a quarterback that has the ability to run the football, because in an RPO scheme, you need the R. Like, you need that guy to be able to run the football. And, you know, I thought, you know, like there's no – Bo Nix can run the football. He's a really athletic guy, but he wasn't a running quarterback, and he did not fit with what Gus wanted to do, because Gus wasn't a guy that ran that type of system offensively, throwing the football. So you can have a really good quarterback and a really good offensive coach, but it might not be the right fit for each other. I feel like for the first time in a long time, Auburn has guys that fit with what they want to do on offense, and I think that's a great place to be. And the other part of it is you go Jackson Arnold – and, you know, you get a Stanford transfer, but you have Deuce Knight, and you go, look, you don't have to change what you do at all depending on who the quarterback is. You can do the same thing with all three guys. Ashton Daniels can run what you're wanting to run, Jackson Arnold, Deuce Knight, and you go, to me, that's a big deal. And so when I start, we've talked about the offensive tackles. I think that's big. You're going to have a couple of veteran wide receivers. You got a really talented group, but I wrote this today. You know, Sam Jackson is the only wide receiver on the Auburn roster as it stands today that has played more than one season of college football. And he's only played one season of college football as a wide receiver. That's it. You only have five guys at the moment. And four of those are true freshmen. And, you know, and one was a guy that was a quarterback. You've got to go get some older guys. And so they've had a few guys on campus. Eric Singleton's a guy they're still recruiting. That's one of maybe the top wide receiver in the portal. And so I think that's a good spot. I love the running back addition in Darrell Robinson, a big physical guy. You don't have a guy like that and haven't had a guy like that in a while. So still think tight end's going to be a spot where you're probably going to have to get at least one older, experienced, bigger guy to go along. Brandon Frazier coming back is a big deal for this team. I think that may be the most underrated return on this entire roster, is having Brandon Frazier back for another year and how much that could mean for this team. But
I thought Jason, he was about to be a big factor for the Auburn offense this year before he went down.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he was going to be a big part of things. 6'7". I mean, we saw him start to kind of get his feel 2 years ago, where he had, you know, a couple of touchdown catches, made a couple of plays, and it felt like he was getting ready to be. Now you got a full season, a full winter to rehab and, you know, get back to full strength. And so I think, you know, I think that's an important one for this team. And so when we talked about offensive line and the other spots, and, you know, adding a portal punter, they had to have one. And so, you know, you get Hudson Cock in here and a guy that can punt it, Australian, can angle, can do all those things. And so, yeah, I think to this point, and listen, you know, people start to think about, oh, what are you going to do here? What are you going to do here? This thing's just getting started, to be quite honest.
Right.
I mean, like, the visits end Sunday and don't start back till January 3rd. The portal officially closes December 28th. But you look and you go, you have 5 days after your last game to get in the portal, which means South Florida, San Jose State are the 24th. Pittsburgh, Toledo, the 26th. Rutgers, Kansas State, the 26th. Arkansas State, Bowling Green, the 26th. Oklahoma Navy, Georgia Tech, Vandy, Texas Tech, Arkansas, Syracuse, Washington State, USC, Texas A&M. I mean, there are a ton of teams that until the first of the year to get into the portal or later.
And yeah, and the teams that are in the playoffs, I mean, they've got until they're done 5 days after
right.
that.
So, yeah, I mean you're like – You're like, even the semifinal games are like, you know, the 31st and the 1st. So you've got eight teams that will be that later. And then Ole Miss and Duke don't play till the 2nd, which gives them till January the 7th. Minnesota and Virginia Tech, Buffalo and Liberty don't play till the 4th, which gives them the 9th. And then the championship game isn't until the 10th, 9th or 10th or whatever. I mean, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's going to make it tough, because by then it's going to be tough to be able to get into school.
You will have already selected your school.
Right.
But yes, there'll still be things going on as late as, I mean, 3 or 4 days into classes, or maybe a week into classes for some people.
Oh, sure.
There'll still be people out there. So, yeah, this thing's got 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks left of its cycle before it's done.
But you really have to be impressed with the way Auburn has gone after this aggressively. They've targeted guys. You know, some people go, well, why not a bigger name here or there? Well, you can't add what's not already in. That doesn't mean that you can't be, checking into possibilities, but you can't add players that aren't in the portal.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the thing you look at now from an interior defensive line position. And you go, there's not a ton of those guys, and you can go for potential or you can go for productivity. Auburn went for productivity over potential. You know, I saw South Carolina went, you know, got a former five-star guy that was at Texas A&M in the 2022 class. Well, he's been in college for 3 years and he has 5 tackles. He may be great, but he hasn't done it in 3 years to this point. The other part of it is you're trying to balance classes a little bit. So you look at it and you go, Auburn has a bunch of young guys on the defensive line. You got a whole bunch of freshmen coming in and you have Malik Blockton. You don't want to go grab 3 guys that were in last year's recruiting class that just redshirted or played a little bit, because you don't want to have 7 guys graduating in the same year if you were to keep them all. So you're trying to balance things out. So you're maybe looking for a guy that has 2 years at interior defensive line now to be your other guy, to give you a little bit of an older guy to go along. And so that's part of it is trying to balance out classes, which is an impossibility nowadays because you don't know who you're going to keep from year to year. But at least you are trying to balance things out. So sometimes how many years a player has left impacts it as well.
Oh, yeah. I try to keep up with who's on the roster, who's not. I mean, it's fairly balanced right now. And there are going to be more changes. There'll be more players that leave, and there are going to be more additions. But as I looked at it, Auburn's got around 18 seniors, a dozen juniors, 23 sophomores, and then a little over 30 freshmen and redshirt freshmen, which is fairly balanced. I mean, you might like another junior or two, if you can get those guys with multiple years, that's fine. But Auburn's not overly heavy on the senior side, which they were a little bit last year.
Yeah, and even more important than that is the positional balance, where right. you make sure you don't have, you know, like I said, wide receiver. If you went out and grabbed two more guys who were young guys, in 2 years you might be sitting there going, look, you're going to lose five wide receivers in one class, and they're all your top five guys, and poof, you start over. That's what you want to avoid. You want to avoid doing that where you go, man, we're going to have to go sign seven portal offensive linemen because all of our guys graduate the same year. And so that's what you're kind of looking at, is trying to keep some guys where you go, hey, you got two older guys to build around this year. Okay, now these guys will be the older guys next year. In a perfect world, that's what you'd like to be able to do.
Yeah, you mentioned Eric Singleton. Been a lot of different schools very interested in him. Auburn has stayed right there always among the when he's taught two or three schools, Auburn's always been among them. Is it looking like sort of an Auburn-Texas battle now?
Yeah, it's hard to tell, but it kind of feels that way. You know, Auburn is close to home. This is a guy that has some connections now to Auburn. His roommate, Tay Seymour has signed with Auburn, a safety from Georgia
right.
Tech. So there's some connections there. So yeah, it kind of feels that way. I know Ole Miss was involved, but they brought in a bunch of other guys here recently too to visit. We're talking about Auburn had 17, 18 visits. I bet Ole Miss has had 25 or 30. I bet.
Oh,
you.
Oh yeah.
But that's how they're building it versus Auburn trying to fill holes. They're trying to fill roster spots. I think that would probably be my guess would be Auburn, Texas for a guy like Singleton.
And then the other receiver, Horatio Fields, is sort of the bigger type receiver that Auburn's been looking for as well, right?
Yeah, kind of give you another guy with Cam and Perry outside to give you another bigger body, and really just kind of came on last year in his first extensive playing time at Wake Forest, but gives you a one-year guy, and I think that's what you're talking about. Like, how do you want to build these things? That gives you an older senior guy that come in, be a veteran presence in the room. But he's a guy that can stretch the field some and do some things too. And I mean, I feel really good about Auburn's chances for him, and I wouldn't be shocked if that one happened here pretty quickly.
All right, Jason Caldwell with us. Jason, you with us for the full hour, or do you got to leave?
Yeah, I might slide out right at the end, but I should be good.
Okay, good. All right, we'll be back with more. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Stick with us as we continue here with the Wednesday Drive.
VNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, and Don, excuse me, Dan will be back on Friday. It's Coach Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell here on the Wednesday edition of the drive. JC, you were there at the Alabama Mississippi All-Star game down in Mobile this past week. Got a chance to see a lot of future Tigers.
Yeah, a bunch of them. There were 10 guys in the game. You never know how things are going to work, but I came away and having seen, I think, all but Deuce play live in person. I think the other nine I had seen play in person. I came away going, I think you got a bunch of guys that are going to play early. Absolutely some of those defensive linemen are going to play. So I don't think there's any question about that one. Malik Autry had a really good week. I thought it was the best I'd seen him, and he was consistent. Got after it, and I thought that was good. But Jordan Crawford and Antonio Coleman can play. And so you look up front, Jared Smith is a big, huge guy that can really get after it and go. And so, but Anquan Fagans, to me, that's about as sure thing as I think you can find with a guy that's going to play early. Whether it's nickel or safety or whatever it is, he can play corner. I think he's a guy that absolutely plays a big role next season, kind of like Caleb Harris did this year. And then Deuce Knight, you look and you go, I think the most interesting thing about him is that because the quarterback you're adding, Ashton Daniels from Stanford, isn't going to be here in the spring, Deuce Knight's going to get every second team rep in practice.
Yeah.
For an entire spring practice. That is invaluable for a young guy. And you just don't have those opportunities. So I think it's going to help him fast track to be ready to go. And, you know, I think play a role as a true freshman. I think there is something for him. You know, the thing is, because of that, he's going to have every opportunity to jump out there. We've seen it before. Nowadays, you can see a true freshman. I mean, he's going to have an opportunity just because of what he's going to have in front of him, you know, this spring.
Yeah, I guess the question that some folks had about Deuce was, you know, as a passer. I didn't get a chance to watch it because the game was only streamed, and we were at a family Christmas, and were able to at least have the basketball game going on. But what did you think as far as Deuce as a passer?
You know, I think the thing you look at him is that, and again, my comparison was him, and I, like I said, I hated to do it because it's such a high bar, but my comparison was Vince Young a little bit, because what you see is you see a guy that can create windows because of his athleticism. And so you're not a guy, and it's not going to be a guy that you're say, let's go stand in the pocket and throw, you know, 25-yard out routes a bunch and do that stuff. That's just not what you're asking him to do in that offensive system. I thought he threw it pretty well. I think it was 14 of 17. Had 175, 180 yards, a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah.
I thought he looked pretty good. He can absolutely throw the deep ball. So he has that. So you think about that along with the running ability. The safeties are going to have to be always aware of where he is and him running it, and then the ability to throw it over the top. You know, I think it's a really good combination. But, yeah, I thought he threw it well. And, you know, he's – it has kind of a little bit of a sidearm look, kind of like Vince Young, but from the left side. And so it'd be interesting to see the guys get used to catching the left-handed throw because it has that different spin and different feel. And so that'll be fun to watch to see that kind of, you know, how they deal with that in the spring.
You mentioned Malik Autry, and, I mean, with Don in the studio, I mean, talk to him. I mean, again, Jordan Crawford has gotten rave reviews. Malik is such a – man, he's such a big, athletic guy. I mean, really behind Bobby Jamison Travis, you know, until Auburn added Dallas Walker today, I didn't know who else Auburn had that they could plug in on the front next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nose spot.
And, yeah.
You look at 6'5", 330. That's what you would think the starting spot for him. He has the ability to probably slide out and play a three technique or something like that, but – no, John, just adding size and explosiveness.
And some experience,
yeah.
Playing at the college level. In fact, we're watching him right now on TV.
Yeah, yeah, we got the West Kentucky game on right now.
he made a play on the first play.
Yep, so we're watching.
But yeah, he was a definite need, and I think a good fill. And possibly they'll be looking for one more,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think they'll go for another portal guy inside. But, yeah, Dallas Walker, you look at him – after talking to him in person and kind of seeing him, I didn't think he was as big as he looks in a uniform.
Right.
Some of that is because of the guys we've been talking to.
Right.
Because you look at Malik Autry and those guys, and they're just massive human
beings.
Huge,
huge.
That's what you have. And that's the thing for me is that it doesn't always work because sometimes it doesn't matter. Everybody doesn't play like they look.
Right.
But the more of those guys you have that look like that, the better chance you have of more of those guys playing like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, even this year, that was a team that had a chance to win 7-8 games, and they competed and put themselves in positions. But when I walked on the field in Tuscaloosa, I went, one of these teams still doesn't look like the other one.
Right.
They did everywhere else, but not on the line of scrimmage.
Right. Right.
And you go, okay, you got to start to look like that to be able to get to the ultimate level. You can go compete and go, hey, on any given day, we're good enough to play with them. What you got to get to is on any given day, they might be good enough to play with us.
Exactly.
And that's the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Jason, I mean, it used to be in the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game, that would be where Mississippi at times would have an advantage.
Correct.
Would be on the line of scrimmage. Seemed like Auburn, not Auburn, Alabama might have more skilled players. But Mississippi had those giant guys, but it was interesting to see that that Alabama looked like they had the definitely have the advantage there up front.
I'll say this about Deuce. When I left Thursday, me and Christian Clemente had left when we had watched three practices. When I left there, I said, I think this is a 24-point game. I said, I think Alabama wins this game by three or more touchdowns because I thought everywhere else it was such a dramatic difference. That's how much of a difference Deuce Knight made. Because Alabama, I mean, K.J. Lacy threw for 380-something yards.
Yeah.
It was they got stopped, but Alabama could not stop their offense, and it was because of Deuce Knight. And that was that defense and guys all over the field. When I left here, I went, oh, this is going to be a 31-7, something like that. And it wasn't. It went down to the wire. That made me respect even more what I think Deuce Knight can be, because I thought he took a team that had no chance to win and gave him a chance to win.
Yeah, and as you said, and we talked about this, the last couple of days, once the word got out, once the news was out that Walker White was entering the portal, and looks like he may be headed to Baylor, but he will get plenty of opportunities this spring with Ashton Daniels wrapping up his degree at Stanford. I mean, there are only two scholarship quarterbacks that are going to be around this spring, and that's Jackson Arnold and Deuce Knight.
Yeah, obviously a huge spring for him to get those reps. And like I said, I think in terms of development, I don't know that you could be in a better situation than Deuce Knight is going to be in the spring by getting all those second-team reps and being that guy. It's going to be huge for him, I think, to have that opportunity this spring.
Talk a little bit about Ashton Daniels. I mean, almost all the talk, and understandably so, has been about Jackson Arnold. And then, of course, the excitement about Deuce Knight coming in. But, I mean, Ashton Daniels is a guy who has started quite a few ball games for Stanford. He's had some big passing games. He's had some really good games running. I mean, he ran for nearly 700 yards this year. And that, of course, remember, in college football, your sacks come off your rushing yardage.
Yeah, I think he's a better version of Robbie Ashford in every area. I think he's the same dynamic guy. Like, he can flat out run, but he can throw it. He's been a starter for 2 years in a major college program. Had some turnover issues, but I think you look at him and go, that guy's just a guy that if it clicks, heck, I mean, he may be tough to keep off the field. I mean, he's that talented, and to have a guy like that, and the other part of it is coming from that program at Buford, I mean, it never hurts to have a foot in the door of a place like that, too, for a guy that comes back and goes, man, I loved it. It's great. Go back to my high school and talk to my coaches and go, oh, this place is awesome. I like the addition. Again, and I think it fits. We're talking about what are you looking for as an offense? You want a guy that can come in and make plays with his legs and throw it and do some stuff? It's another guy that fits the bill.
Jason Caldwell with us for a few more minutes here as we continue with the Wednesday drive. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Stick with us here as we continue with the Wednesday drive.
The Drive with Bill.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final few minutes here of hour number one. I know Jason needing to scoot on out here pretty soon. Wanted to give you time, Jason, though, to just talk about everything that you guys are covering, keeping up with, and reporting on daily, and how folks can keep up with all of that.
Yeah, no, it's a crazy time, obviously, when you think about Portal, and I've got to give a shout-out to, I mentioned Christian Clemente, just unbelievable job that he's done, and kind of keeping things rolling for us on that side of things, and so can't thank him enough for the work he's doing there. But we'll have full coverage of that. Got basketball coming up this weekend. I tagged off for Nathan and did a couple of basketball games, and he'll tag back in and do the Purdue game this Saturday in Birmingham. So we'll have full coverage from that as well. And then, kind of keep up with those two things for the most part. And that's enough at this point, but that'll be the big deal. Obviously, hasn't been officially announced, but, it looks like that Auburn will have a coaching vacancy too, expecting Josh Aldridge to be East Carolina's defensive coordinator. So Auburn will have to hire a guy that coaches the edge or outside linebacker spot.
I think East Carolina may have done something in the last hour or so about
haven't seen that one, but so we'll expect Auburn to obviously start to move, but how quickly you can do that. Yeah, it has been announced. But you know, you start looking at it, you know, kind of those things, and if you're, you know, Hugh Freeze and this staff, you go, maybe you get through this visit window, and then you focus on the coach during that Christmas time when you can't have people on campus. And you know, from a coaching standpoint, it's not quite like it is from a player perspective, where you don't need to go see classrooms. You don't have to do a bunch of that. You can pretty much talk this thing out and go, hey, okay, our facilities are good. Mm-hmm. We've got a pretty good roster coming here. We know each other because of this guy or this guy. That's where you kind of always start, is where there's relationships or connections involved. And so start looking at either a Hugh Freeze connection or a DJ Durkin connection, yeah, where you start looking at the potential guys.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And, I mean, this is a it is a crazy time with all the player movement. There are going to be more coaches moving around, and you guys do a great job of keeping up with it all. As we said, Auburn, with 9 players they've added through the portal, where do you think they end up just numbers-wise? You think Auburn's around 15? I sure wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I think you look at probably a couple more defensive linemen. So you start there, I think a couple of wide receivers, a tight end. So you're already at 5 at that point,
right,
without stretching it even more. So you look at a couple linebackers, that's 7, so that'd be 16 right there. So I think you're looking at 15, 16, somewhere around in there.
Looking forward to the again, following everything. You guys do a great job with it, Jason. Thanks so much. Really appreciate you spending time with us each Wednesday. And since we're off the next 2 Wednesdays, I may get with you sometime after Christmas. We're off all of next week, and then we're going to be off New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and see if we can do something sometime before that second week in January. But wanted to wish you and your family Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah, y'all too, and I appreciate it. And, yeah, we'll get together and get something done.
Sounds good, Jason. Thanks again, man. Don, all right, so we've got a couple of minutes left to go here in hour number one. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Jason, Nathan, Christian, Philip, I mean, they do a great job of keeping everybody updated. I mean, as soon as something is breaking, they've got it. They've got in-depth stuff. I mean, I was looking at a write-up that I believe, Christian had a little while ago, just sort of updating who's left, who's gone, who's still out there, and who might be coming in. So I would strongly encourage folks to, you know, definitely check that out. One of the things that Jason was talking about, Don, is, I mean, hey, they're coaching changes too. It's funny. It used to be, well, you'd get through a signing period, like with high school players, then you'd see some moves. Right now you've got bowl games, you've got transfer portal. You know there are going to be a whole lot more coaching moves, though, that are going to be coming at some point here in the next month or so.
Yeah, no doubt. It's really changed since the old days, because there's so much stuff going on that we never had to deal with. But normally, like you say, after the signing date in February, that's usually when you saw some changes, that next couple of weeks. But and like Jason said, whoever they hire or interview will have some connection with Coach Freeze or the defensive coordinator. And they probably already know. A head coach usually has a list of guys in his back pocket, a lot like ADs do when they try to hire a head coach. But that'll be interesting. And you never know if anybody else is going to move. Like you said earlier, Bill, it's never over till it's over.
No kidding. I mean, like Jason said, it really doesn't seem to slow down, and now it's just more than ever. We're just about out of time for hour number one here on the Wednesday Drive. We've got some audio we can play for you a little later. Again, I apologize. Hopefully the voice sounds a little bit better today, but man, I've just really been dragging it. I didn't think it would be very wise to come in. So trying to keep everybody as healthy as possible. This is not the time of year you want to get sick, I can tell you that. But we've got another hour to go. We've got some audio. We'd love for you to join in. You can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390, as we head into hour number two here on the Wednesday Drive.
The sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two here of the Wednesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this Wednesday evening now. Bill, coming to you from the house today, as I've been feeling a little under the weather for the last couple of days. And just for everybody's safety, just doing the show remotely today. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, who was in the studio for hour number one. And special thanks to Coach Don Dunn, who is in the studio and has been filling in while Dan is on the road with the Troy women's basketball team. They're up in Cherokee, North Carolina, and he will be headed back to Auburn either Thursday night or Friday morning, so he should be on Friday. A reminder that Friday will be our last show until a week from Monday, as we have the week, and we're very thankful for this, we have the week of Christmas off. So we will be off from Monday the 23rd through the 27th. We'll be back on Monday, December 30th. So Dan will be back in on Friday. Don is in today. And we talked with Jason a good bit about some of the additions through the from the transfer portal. Don, it's crazy. I mean, as Jason was saying, I mean, you look around and bowl games are going on like crazy, but we've got playoff football just 2 days away from now.
Yeah, hard to believe, and it kind of snuck up on us. All the talk early about the playoffs and the seedings, the selection, and then it kind of bang, here it is. Got a pretty good game Friday night for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Indiana at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Now that's one. You know, there'd been some people were wondering, well, how's the weather going to affect these teams? Both these teams, I mean, it's like, it's even though it's at Notre Dame, I mean, they're both used to this kind of weather.
Yeah, Notre Dame probably a little more than Indiana. I think Bloomington's a little more south than South
right.
Bend. But, you know, Jason and I were talking in the break earlier. Once the game starts, the players aren't affected that much. Maybe a quarterback, maybe a receiver. But I think the wind, and I think you mentioned this before, Bill, wind has more effect, an effect than I think the temperature does. Because once you get going,
the wind just like cuts through you is what it can feel like.
And if there's any moisture or dampness, sometimes that can affect it. But, you know, nowadays they have the hand warmers, the sideline, the heated seats, the helmets, you know, you can put on the heat when you come off. It's not like the old days when you stood over there and hoped your cleats didn't freeze to the mud. So,
this ball game's really interesting. I mean, a lot of people have doubted Indiana all year. They didn't play the toughest teams. I mean, look, they didn't create their Big Ten schedule. They just had who they had on the schedule. And a lot of people look at that Ohio State game and go, "Well, this team's a pretender." But that ball game was tight until just before the half.
Yeah. They had some mishaps there right before the half, like you said. You know, remember, they beat Michigan, which beat Ohio
which
State.
Which beat Ohio State, right.
They beat a pretty good Washington team. They had a decent – their schedule wasn't, like you said, really, really difficult, but still they won the games they needed to win other than the Ohio State game. So I think it'll be an interesting game. I'm always, kind of for the underdog. I would imagine Notre Dame is favorite. I don't know that, but I would imagine they're a favorite. And I can't wait to watch this game. It's going to be very interesting, I think.
No, you're right. I mean, it's something I've just got to make sure that I don't
forget.
It's not like I could forget about it because we're going to be on the air until
I think it starts around 7.
Not much before the kickoff. Yeah, kickoff is 7 o'clock on Friday night, so it's not like we'll forget about it. But it is hard to think that here we are before Christmas and we're already looking at the playoff game. I think Indiana's got a shot. I mean, what they can't afford to do, and we were talking about it a little yesterday. I think Jake Crane brought it up in that, you know, Indiana can't afford to find themselves down a couple of scores.
Exactly.
They're not built to come from behind like that. But, I mean, they're a team that is very used to controlling the clock, controlling the ball, playing solid defense. And, you know, if they can just, you know, have some consistency on offense, not allow big plays, they've done a pretty good job of preventing that all year long. I think we got a chance of having a heck of a ball game Friday
yeah,
night.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do too. And then all of a sudden it's Saturday and you have
a triple header.
Yeah, starting at 11 a.m., which is unbelievable.
And, you know, that's probably – and that's the SMU-Penn State game. Is that an 11 o'clock game? And there's some folks saying, well, this really should favor Penn State with the game being up there. It's not like it doesn't get cold in Texas any at all either. But I think the fact that it's at 11 o'clock, if it's not like snowing or something like that,
right.
I don't think that would be a tremendous detriment to SMU. And Penn State, it's funny, SMU is the 11th seed, and a lot of people – you know, wondering, especially in the SEC, you know, how do they get in over a three-loss SEC team? Hey, Penn State's another team that didn't play the toughest schedule at all either. They had a very fortunate schedule, and James Franklin is still looking to prove that he can win
the
big ball game.
Yeah, for sure. He's struggled in the big ball games, and that's kind of, hanging over his head. And then you've got Clemson and Texas, and then the night caps Tennessee and Ohio State. So it's a good day to just stay in and cook up some chili or whatever and watch football and basketball.
Yeah.
And in between, we got good basketball.
oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. The Auburn-Purdue game is one of many on Saturday. But Clemson, the biggest underdog in the first round of the playoffs. They're 12-point underdogs to Texas.
Wow.
And I sort of like Clemson to the point. I mean, Texas, it's crazy. I mean, don't think that schedule doesn't play a factor in how you get to the playoffs, because Texas, who was the best team that Texas beat this year?
Good question.
Maybe Vandy?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, really, they lost both their matchups to Georgia and Texas. We talked about it when you looked at the SEC schedule that was released last year. It's like, man, Texas got a great schedule for a first year team in the Southeastern Conference. I mean, they had most of their tough games at home.
Right.
Clemson obviously was thumped by Georgia, but I mean, Texas lost twice to Georgia as well. All right, they did go to Michigan and win. Yeah, week two. That's probably their biggest win. Michigan was ranked number 10 when they beat them. They only played four teams all year that were ranked.
Right.
Oklahoma at the time was ranked when they beat them. Oklahoma finished 6-6. Michigan finished 7-5 on the year. Vandy was ranked 25 when they beat them by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And Vandy finished 6-6. And then Texas A&M was ranked 20 when Texas beat them. And then, of course, Georgia beat them twice. So Texas, very fortunate this ball game is at home.
Right, sure.
I expect Clemson to play Texas a pretty good ball game. I'm still picking Texas to win, but I sort of like Clemson to the point.
Yeah, Clemson's been there before in the last, five or six years. In the playoffs, in the big games. But, that'll be an interesting game. I think that's at 4 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. And then,
and then the nightcap is the marquee game. And it should be, when you've got 8 versus 9, it should be what people consider the best game. Although, Ohio State is a 7.5-point favorite over Tennessee.
Wow.
Does that seem too much?
That seems like a lot to me, and all I've heard is how many fans Tennessee's taken.
Well, we didn't really talk about this yesterday. I had not seen it before we came on the air yesterday. But, yes, apparently something happened, and the code that Ohio State season ticket holders were supposed to be able to use to order their tickets was released. And the word is 40% of the tickets that were sold for Saturday night's game there at the Horseshoe are bought were bought by people with addresses in the state of Tennessee.
Oh my goodness, that is
and this
crazy.
Was supposed to be. I mean, and it was supposed to be treated like a home game. It's crazy. The NCAA doesn't control the playoffs, so home teams get to determine how many tickets. And for the playoffs, the visiting teams were only going to get 3,500 tickets. So instead of Tennessee having 3,500 tickets, it looks like they're going to have close to 40,000 tickets there for the game Saturday night.
Wow, that is crazy. That's amazing. Somebody might be in trouble over that.
Oh, I bet somebody doesn't have the same job that they had just a few days ago because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you feel? Can you imagine if you're a longtime season ticket holder and you go to order your regular seats and a fan of the opposing team is already in those seats. You can't have them.
That's amazing.
I don't know how much the contributions are to Ohio State to buy a ticket, but I can't imagine that they're insignificant.
No, I wouldn't imagine. No. Yeah, that's unbelievable that happened.
Yeah. But now, that leads me into something that I wanted to get to. I mean, earlier today, I thought, man, this is nuts. I saw a note from Auburn AD John Cohen in my email.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I wonder if this is going to be a year-end kind of thing, you know,
right. Thanks
for your support.
Right.
Or is it going to be maybe a little forewarning? And it was a little of both. I mean, and it's not a huge shock that season ticket holders got a letter today talking about how grateful Auburn is for all the support, but when you read the words, as we continue the transformation into a new era, we remain committed to providing Auburn student athletes an exceptional experience. It goes on and says that, you know, with great anticipation for the 2025 season, it includes hosting the Deep South's oldest rivalry in the Iron Bowl, but it's imperative that ticket prices in several seating zones be adjusted due to a new era of NIL.
Mm.
So it's like, oh, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And, wow. Lo and behold, about 30 minutes ago comes a, hey, Auburn ticket holders, it's time to renew your season ticket for next year.
Already, right at Christmas. Right at Christmas.
And we are fortunate that our seats are good enough that they're not remaining unchanged. So that's just something that's part of it. That's just the way it is.
That's the way it
is. I can't imagine. Huh?
I said, that's the way it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I was saying, though, I can't imagine.
Oh.
If you're someone that has to be paying upwards of, you know, just, for example, say $1,000 a seat
right.
for your seat.
Right.
And because I don't think that's exorbitant at all. And then you don't even get a chance to get tickets to your home game.
That's unbelievable.
I could imagine there was probably some pitchforks ready when that happened there at Ohio State. I think Tennessee's got a great shot on Saturday night.
I do too, and I can't wait to watch that.
Oh, yeah. All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. We've got an interview that Jacob Goins of On the Line has got a chance to sit down with Auburn gymnastics coach Jeff Graba. Thought we'd let you listen to that as we continue. Again, we're still trying to get the Skype thing worked out so that we haven't really been able to grab calls because I've been on the phone. See if we can get that done here while we're doing that. Hour number two of The Drive brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Stick with us. here on the Wednesday Drive.
Or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive here on this Wednesday evening. Bill, remotely from the house, Don Dunn is there in the studio, and Drew, capably at the controls. Mentioned that Jacob Goins had an opportunity to talk with Auburn gymnastics coach Jeff Graber, because the Tigers gymnastics team hosting its annual preview meet tonight at 7 o'clock in Neville Arena. The meet's going to be, if you can't make it over there, it's going to be streamed on the SEC Network Plus. But the doors are going to open. You can listen to the interview with Coach Graber on your way over. The doors are going to open at 5:30. And admission is free to the meet. All seats are general admission. First come, first serve for the annual preview meet tonight. Another outstanding season expected from Auburn Gymnastics. And as we said, Jacob Goins had a chance to talk with Coach Jeff Graber.
We are excited to welcome in on the phone lines the head coach of Auburn University Gymnastics, Jeff Graber, joining us on the phone lines. Coach, how are you, man? Great to talk to you today.
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, I know it's about to be a very, very busy time for you and your overly successful gymnastics program, and wanted to allow you the opportunity to come on and just talk about your team and your program and what's coming up this year. And that starts tomorrow night with the preview meet that is happening inside of Neville Arena. And so for fans that maybe don't know quite what it is or how that works, I mean, it's Auburn versus Auburn. Kind of tell the folks what that's going to look like tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's our only shot before season starts of everybody getting in Neville Arena and getting used to the equipment there. So in a lot of respects, it's the most important night before the season starts, because we need to have that home field advantage. So what they'll see tomorrow night is a lot of the people that they're used to seeing, get another glimpse of where they are in the process right now and what the new season will look like for them. But they're also going to see a lot of new faces out there. We've got a lot of new people on the team, and it's their opportunity to get used to the equipment and get used to the environment tomorrow night. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, you mentioned something right there about equipment, and I feel like that's something we may not think about, or even the average, sports fan or gymnastic fan. I mean, getting used to the equipment that you use in your home gym. I mean, that has to be something that has a negative effect on the road, does it not?
Oh yeah, and you just add in, just think about adding in all the stress and anxiety that you get when you're, on a road meet and that type of stuff. But so you add that on top of the fact that it's different equipment. You don't get to practice on it very much. So the home team supposedly gets to practice on it, quite a bit more. But it's also the height of the ceilings, where the lights are. All of that stuff is really important when you're flipping upside down a couple times and you have to land perfectly on your feet. All the different environments, play havoc with your timing.
Yeah, the easiest comparison I think I can use is like for a basketball player shooting on a basket with a different backdrop, right, Coach? It seems like that would be something just gets into your head if you're not ready for that. And so excited to get to see your team in action tomorrow night for a preview meet. Tell the fans what that process is and what they need to know. Just general information for tomorrow night before we dive deeper into your squad.
Well, we're going to do quite a bit of gymnastics. It's pretty much full speed tomorrow night. We're late enough in December now that everybody's full speed. So what they'll see is pretty much what we think they're going to be doing in January for our meets. So the routines will be, I wouldn't say they're final polished, but they're pretty darn close to what you're going to see. The difference tomorrow night is you're going to see a lot of our athletes. Pretty much everybody. We're going pretty deep in our lineup. So pretty much everybody who's available to go and has, a respectable routine at this point is going to go. So they're going to see a lot of options that they might not see in January. We only get to compete 6 girls on any given night in January, and we're going to see 12 deep, maybe even 14 deep on an event tomorrow night.
That's fantastic. So looking forward to that. Again, Auburn Gymnastics and their preview meet tomorrow night inside of Neville Arena. And then the regular season begins with the new year in 2025. You and your team will be heading to Nashville for the Music City Championship, where you start with Oklahoma, BYU, and Nebraska. Coach, I saw something the other day, according to College Gym News, that Auburn Gymnastics has the toughest rated schedule in the country. Do you agree with that as you look up and down this thing?
Yeah, that wasn't a surprise to us. You know, we're bringing our out-of-conference meet in town is Oregon State with Olympian Jade Carey on their team. So, you know, one of the things that we try to do, first off, we're in the SEC. Everybody's going to have a tough schedule. But our philosophy is to bring the best in. If we compete against the best, I think in the end, we will be the sharpest team out there when we have to be in postseason. So,
sure.
I welcome it. I really like the fact that we have the toughest schedule in the country, and I think our fans are going to benefit from seeing the best gymnastics in the country right in Neville Arena.
And so with that, Nashville, San Antonio, and then, yes, you will be in Neville Arena. It looks like first SEC match will be on January 17th against Arkansas. And as we visit with Auburn's head gymnastics coach, Jeff Graba, here on ESPN 106.7, let's talk about your team a little bit, Coach, where I believe I counted 8 seniors on this roster. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have 8 seniors, and we have a bunch. We have 1 junior. And then we have a ton of freshmen and sophomores. Hmm. So, you know, some of our seniors, I think we have 3 that are exercising their fifth, their COVID year. This is the last year that they can do that. So they'll get their 5th year. So we are benefiting from quite a bit of experience in our senior group, but we're going to compete quite a few really young people. So I can't get shorter, but I can definitely lose my hair. So that might be what's happening right now.
Well, I know there's some of the well-known popular names of girls that have been here for several years, Gabby McLaughlin, Sophia Groth. I mean, the ones that really shine in their Auburn career so far. What have those seniors, all of them, meant to you in this Auburn gymnastics program, which, again, has been one of the most successful in the SEC in the last handful of years?
Yeah, you know, this senior class was a freshman class when we went to the Final Four. So it's done a tremendous job for us. This class in and of itself has really started to set the standard for us. You know, we've almost won an SEC championship, a regular season championship. We lost on a tiebreaker in 22 as well. So, you know, quite a bit of success. We've had our first SEC champion in years with Cassie Stevens last year. So this senior class has been involved in some of the biggest marks in recent history for Auburn gymnastics. So we're stealing a lot from them. We're using them a lot. They're helping our young people really figure this game out, you know, and then helping the coaching staff. I was listening to your segment before about the quarterback room for football. And, you know, I find it funny because I have an opinion about the quarterback room too. We all follow Auburn football.
Sure.
But I'll just let everybody know, as a coach, I don't know my people yet. You know,
that's a great point.
I think I know them. I think I see what happens in practice is not what happens in the meet for us sometimes. And I can guarantee it's probably the same in that quarterback room when you get into games situations. So I'm looking forward to a meet situation tomorrow night, because what I want to know, if what I think I know is what I really know. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, we'll see.
Right. I mean, pressure makes diamonds, right? I mean, you don't know what you've got until you see it in action. And how many times, Coach, have we seen in gymnastics or football or swimming or basketball where you've got a great competitor in practice? You've got the best shooter in the country in practice, but then when they get to the game on the hardwood, they can't perform, or on the beam, or whatever the case may be, and you just don't know until, like you said, you see them in real action.
Yeah, and then the alternates, the flip side's really important too. It's that person who's decent in practice and you're happy with them, but they don't you know, stand out to a high level, but they can crank it up in a game. You know, you look at the NFL and you think about all these, you know, Tom Brady was on the bench, you know, in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then in a game day situation when he had to get in, he made such a statement that you couldn't pull him out. And that you're always going to have athletes like that. Gabby McLaughlin was that for us. She was a walk-on her first 3 years here. And she came here with not a whole lot of options, and we just felt like she had potential. But, man, watching her compete, I think a lot of people are thinking they missed the boat on that one. So I'm hoping to see what happens. You know, I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised tomorrow night with some other people that are in our freshman and sophomore classes.
Well, I want to ask you some more about your younger ones. I know you haven't seen them in that action yet, and you don't know exactly what you have, but has anybody or a couple of girls stood out to you just vocally or with their work and their effort who have come in and just really hit the ground running in their young careers at Auburn?
Yeah, I think Bryn Bartman is a freshman. She actually is a redshirt freshman. She had one routine last year and then had a season-ending surgery. So she has just a little bit of experience, but she's a really refined gymnast, and I think she's actually going to do some really good routines for us this year. Kiko Jong, who's an international elite, she should be able to step in. She might be our all-arounder as a freshman. She reminds me a lot of this is high praise. I'm not putting it together. I'm not tying it, but she's going to look a little bit of what Suni Lee had as far as gymnastics,
wow,
her performance level, that type of stuff. You know, obviously, she's got a long ways to go to have the accomplishments that Suni did, but she's got some stuff in her. Marissa Neal is coming from an international elite. Both those two just barely missed Olympic trials this year. So,
wow.
So that should say something about where they are. And then we have some junior Olympic athletes joining us, which are Olivia Ahern and Sophia Bell, that are really accomplished at that next level of not the Olympics. Basically, just think of the U.S. Olympics, not international. So we've got quite a few people who are going to step in and really, really fight for spots.
Auburn University Gymnastics Head Coach Jeff Graba joining us here on the line on ESPN 106.7. You mentioned her name, and we got to ask about the former Auburn Tiger, Suni Lee, the Olympian, the decorated Olympian who was competing this past summer. I mean, what does it mean to you as a coach, and I know your family and so many ties with Suni, what does it mean to be able to watch her do what she does and perform at the highest level and just be so decorated at what she does?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think my brother and I, we talked about this not too long ago. I think the best way to wrap it up for us is relief. You know, I just feel like she went through so much, and you know, I don't think they did her justice on what she went through. The battle she fought the last 2 years, it's just amazing she was even able to go out there. I was relieved that she got another shot at it. I was not surprised that she's capable at competing at that high of a level. She's just not only a premier athlete, she's just a true gritty competitor who can do anything anytime she wants, it seems, and is one of the most courageous people I've ever coached. But I'll just say, just absolute relief to get to watch her go again. That was one of our goals when she came here. We all had an agreement. We're going to do 1 or 2 years at Auburn, and then our goal was to get her back to the Olympics. Her goal was to get back to the Olympics, and my brother's goal was to take her back. So all of it worked well together, and, you know, we got to steal 2 years from the best athlete in the world at the time, and she got 2 great years of what she says is expanding her family. She just, coming back to Auburn is like coming home for her, so wish her nothing but the best.
Well, it's really cool to see her represent the United States and represent Auburn as well, Suni Lee, in the Olympics. And it's really cool to watch you and what you've built with this program to become one of the most competitive programs, not just in the SEC, but in all of college gymnastics, as Auburn has their preview meet coming up tomorrow night inside of Neville Arena, 7 o'clock before the regular season will start with the turn of the new year. One more before we let you go, Coach Graba. Is there a meet that you're looking forward to the most this season, whether it's in conference or one of those trips that you guys are making in the non-con? Is there one that really sticks out to you that you've got circled on the calendar this year?
Yeah, I mean, having Oklahoma in Neville Arena for the first time, I think it's a huge deal for us. We get to host their first year in the SEC. We get to host them, and I just feel like that's a big deal. You know, Oklahoma's coming off a bunch of national championships. The coaching staff there goes, we go way back there. She's from, KJ Kindler's from Minnesota as well. So, we have a lot of ties there, and it's one of the best programs in the country. So all the other SEC programs, it's the best places to compete. It's the best teams to compete against, but a little bit of something special with the first time Oklahoma's ever been in Neville Arena. I'm hoping that one's memorable.
That one on February 28th inside of Neville Arena. Looking forward to that and all of the meets that Auburn Gymnastics will be in this season. Head Coach Jeff Graba joining us on ESPN 106.7. Coach, great to have you on. We really do appreciate your time. Good luck to everybody who's in competing or in competition coming up tomorrow for the preview meet, and best of luck this season.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. And there's still tickets available, so I'm encouraging everybody to go out and buy them so that they can watch us this season.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for your time, Coach. War Eagle.
Thanks, War Eagle. All right, War Eagle.
Jacob Goins, who had an opportunity to speak with Coach Jeff Graba. Of course, that was yesterday. That's why they were saying tomorrow. It is tonight. Matter of fact, the doors are open now. Admission is free. But as Jeff was saying, there are a few there that you may be able to purchase a few tickets for the for the regular season. I know that younger son and his family, they've got season tickets and really excited about the 2024-25 gymnastics. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Got about 20 minutes or so left here on the Wednesday Drive, so stick with us.
02 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 15 minutes or so here on this Wednesday evening. Bill remotely from the home studio, if you will. Don Dunn, Coach Don Dunn, in with us today once again in the studio. Dan should be back on Friday. I think Justin Ferguson will be in the studio tomorrow. And Don, again, I can't thank you enough for coming in and filling in and helping out here this week.
Well, no problem, Bill. You know, I enjoy it. And like I said, I hope you feel better and everybody gets back safe. And it's a lot of fun. It keeps me involved, buddy. I really appreciate y'all having me.
Oh, it's absolutely our pleasure. And it is sort of odd sitting here doing the show in my lounge clothes and my slippers here today. But yeah, I could get used to this. One of the things we talked about, it's hard to believe. I mean, we got bowl games that have been going on. Did you catch any of the bowl game last night?
No, I didn't. I guess it was a pretty good game.
Oh, yeah.
A lot
Memphis
of points.
And West Virginia ends up 42-37.
Good Lord.
Memphis. Now, that's, I'll tell you what, even if you don't have any interest in either team, that's the kind of bowl game that just any passing fan's really going to want to watch. One that's as wild and back and forth as that one was last night. Man, Memphis has really been, they've really been pretty good over the last few years. I think win of the year.
Yeah, they've done a nice job. And, yeah, that was quite a scoring event. And then there's, I think, two games tonight. There's
two more tonight.
There's right now Western Kentucky versus James Madison. They're tied up 7-7. Then another one tonight, and then – of course, the weekend, like we've been talking, it's going to be really, really fun.
Yeah, it's crazy. There are going to be bowl games going on while the playoff
yeah,
games are going
crazy.
On. I mean, that it seems like they would at least move the bowl games away from the days that the playoff games are going on. Give us an extra game or two on Tuesday or Thursday and back some of those ball games off the weekend. But, yeah, you mentioned the Boca Raton Bowl going on, Western Kentucky. We talked about it a little while ago. Dallas Walker, Auburn signing, guy who started for their defensive front this year today,
right?
Taking on James Madison. And then the other bowl game is the Art of Sport LA Bowl out in Inglewood, California, with Cal taking on UNLV. That's coming up a little later on ESPN.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, the RNL Carriers New Orleans Bowl with Georgia Southern against Sam Houston. And then, like I said, Friday, I guess, well, here's what they're doing. They're at least not having the bowl games playing at the same time
yes.
as the playoffs, because you've got the Staff DNA Cure Bowl Boy, I would not be able to tell you the names of most of these bowls.
No, that's really changed.
You know, you tell me where they are, and I'll tell you what maybe they used to be called.
Exactly.
That's in Orlando, so that probably was the old Tangerine Bowl.
Uh-huh.
But it's Ohio versus Jacksonville State, and that is an early kickoff on ESPN. Then mid-afternoon, you've got the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. I just don't think mortgage and Gasparilla just doesn't, whatever. Tulane in Florida, and that one's basically a home game for the Gators because that's in Tampa.
Right.
Then you get the rest of the weekend off for college football playoffs and the NFL.
NFL games Saturday, too. Yeah, it's funny, Bill. You remember when we were growing up, you could name every bowl and when, what time and what day they were going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And there was maybe six.
Bowl games?
Yeah.
I was thinking it was more along the lines of a dozen or so.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Because I mean, you had some that had been around for a long time, like the Liberty.
Right.
And
the Gator, and
the Sun.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
You know, some of those that weren't the big.
The New Year's Day, bowl games. Yeah. And y'all.
I remember the Astro Bluebonnet.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
You know, that was a big deal there for a little while. But now there's so many. And of course, corporate sponsorship is the thing.
Yeah.
And that's where the bowl names. You know, you have no idea what they're going to be from one year to the next, just who's going to sponsor it or not.
Exactly.
I
always remember the final game was always the Orange Bowl, remember, on the New Year's night.
It was at night, that's right.
Yeah, and then you felt bad because no more football for a while.
Yeah, for a long time, the Sugar Bowl was New Year's Eve night.
Yep.
And then the Orange Bowl was New Year's night.
The late game, right after the Rose Bowl.
Yep, the Rose Bowl mid-afternoon, and then, it would be the Cotton Bowl early, the Rose Bowl mid, and the Orange Bowl late.
Yeah, exactly right. The good old days.
And that's one of the, that's one of the things that is, I guess maybe a lot of younger fans could care less about that, but one of the things that college football and the bowls wanted to try to do was keep some of that tradition around and incorporate the playoffs into it. They've been able to do it some to a point, but I think at times they bend a little too much. Like the Rose Bowl, I felt like had too much say so as to when they were playing, and it almost affected sometimes how the playoffs were going to be because they had to have their ball game there at that same time. I would my feeling was, well, go ahead and do it, just don't expect to be involved in the playoffs if you're not going to be able to adjust.
Exactly. Yeah. But
all right,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just about to say we could go ahead and get to our final break and sort of get back on track. We got one more segment to go. Bill and Don with you here on the Wednesday Drive. We'll be right back. Stick with us. At Reynolds Outdoors, they're